1 Corinthians 3. And the words are on the screen, and we invite those of you online to join us as well. If you believe it, confess it, and let's join together as we make this confession. Ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By his truth, I am set free, free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I join you there in 1 Corinthians, I want to read you just the final words of Jesus in Matthew 28. So let me give you a little bit of a background. Again, you can just write the scripture down, then I'll join you where you are. Matthew chapter 28. And what's happened is the sinless Son of God, who we know by his earthly name of Jesus, left the splendor of heaven. He was not just a baby born in Bethlehem. He was the Son of God and God the Son from eternity past, sinless. He came to our world and clothed himself in a human body. He showed us and he taught us. Y'all remember show and tell? He showed us and he taught us how to live in fellowship with God as our Father. That's what God's heart is. That's what he wants for all of us. But we have a big barrier in the way that we cannot go around or remove, and that barrier is sin. Sin is breaking God's commandments. But because he loved us so much, he gave his Son, who willingly suffered and died on the cross, to pay for our sins. He took the judgment that we rightfully deserve for our sins. He suffered and died in our place. And then, so he conquered sin on the cross. He conquered Satan on the cross. And 3 days later, he conquered death. And now he's been on the earth for 40 days after he arose from the dead. And he gathers there on the Mount of Olives, and he's getting ready to return to heaven. And before he ascends, he gives these final words of instruction in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, if you want to write it down. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority," would you say it with me? "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations," all ethnic groups, "baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. So under the Lord's authority, we are to make more disciples or more followers of Jesus. And the first step in making a follower of Jesus is to believe in him. To believe is the first step. And this isn't some mechanical religious obligation that we have to go out and do what Jesus said. I want to emphasize this. It is the practical expression of our faith by loving God and loving others. To make disciples, to encourage people to be followers of Jesus and do what we can to help and guide them to the Lord, that is just the practical expression of our faith by loving God and loving others, as Jesus said, the two greatest commandments. All of the other commandments flow from those two, loving God and then loving others. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, let me join you there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we read these words beginning in verse 5. "Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase." And I want to read verse 8 as well. "Now he who plants and he who waters," this is important, "are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor." Now, I know over the years, I've sensed it, I've felt it. It's not like I've arrived now. I've heard other people feel like they are either, there's a little bit of apprehension. Some people may feel like you're either unqualified. Maybe some people feel like they're just, they don't know what to do, how to lead someone to Jesus. And so this morning, here is the message based on these verses. I want to make it personal. I can't save anyone. I can't change anyone's heart. But here's what I can do. I can plant and I can water. So the message this morning I want to emphasize or to build on and focus on in this time we have is I can plant and water. That's the title of the message this morning. I can plant and I can water. So I can plant and water prayer. I can plant and water service. Because Jesus said, let your lights so shine before others that they may see your good deeds, your good works, and glorify your Father in heaven. So I can plant and water mainly the good news. I can plant and water the seeds of the gospel. Again, prayer and the good deeds all ultimately would have that purpose. In just a moment, I want to ask, in fact, why don't you go ahead and turn. If you turn to John chapter 3, the fourth book of the New Testament, John chapter 3. And again, I'll give you a few verses here out of Ephesians or a couple verses because pastors are to equip or prepare God's people to do the work of the ministry. That's one of, if I have a job description, and I do, from God's word, part of that description is to equip Christians to do the work of the ministry. It's not my show. It's not my, if this is about me, I'm living for the wrong one. This isn't my, I have a place, but I'm only one in the body. And this is my place. It's not everyone's necessarily, but everyone has a place. So it's about the Lord and equipping his people. I've even thought about it in relation to let's say if we operated a fast food restaurant like churches may typically run today. There's a manager, and then there's a bunch of employees sitting out in the booths and the chairs, and customers come in, and there's a need, and they keep running back and forth to the manager. So they would come in, hey, there's a spill over here. Some little kid did this, or hey, this person needs that, or we need you to go back in the kitchen, and a pastor is not the one who does everything. That's why the ministry can't be effective. But if the pastors and leaders are equipping the people, then when you're out on the job and there is a need, when you're out in the marketplace, when you're wherever you are, when you're at home, whatever the need is, when you see a newscast come up and you can pray. You don't. Not everyone has to call me. I'm to equip you to do that. Now, call me if you need me, all right? I'm not trying to get out of my part. But I want to equip you because, well, let me read these verses and then I'll join you in John. The Bible says this in Ephesians, again, if you want to write it down, Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. It says that Jesus himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Why? Verse 12. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying. What does edifying mean? For the building up of the body of Christ. So doing God's will and leading people to Jesus builds up the body of Christ, but it also gives us joy. It gives us a sense of divine purpose and destiny that I'm not just here to live and die. I can be a part of what God is doing in the earth right now, in this generation. I can plant and water. Would you say that with me? I can plant and water. And so we can actually first have the assurance of our own salvation, of our faith and forgiveness, and then we can be equipped or prepared to lead others to the Lord as well. There are three necessities I'd like to focus on this morning, if you want to write them down. Three necessities that must be present and addressed in order to lead anyone to Jesus or for us to become Christians ourselves. And there is a term Jesus uses here in John chapter 3. So let's start in verse 5, John chapter 3. Verse 5, Jesus speaking, and he says, Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. I'll pause there just a second. How many of you have ever, I won't ask any of you ladies if you had this occur when you were pregnant, but I would just ask, how many of you have ever heard the phrase from maybe a woman who's pregnant nearing the time of birth, and there's a phrase that says her water broke? Y'all heard that? So Jesus says, basically there's that both a physical birth and a spiritual birth. We must be born of water and the Spirit, or he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So the first necessity is God's Spirit. We must have the Holy Spirit as part of this process. So I'll just tell you what they are, and then we'll go into all three of them for a moment. But Spirit is a necessity. Sin must be addressed. That's a necessity. And then the Savior must be mentioned. So Spirit, sin, and Savior. And you'll have time to write those down in just a moment. But right now, I just want to focus on this, because being born of God's Holy Spirit is not just a human decision. People are not led to the Lord by our convincing arguments. Being born again is a supernatural work of God's Holy Spirit, where he convinces us of our sin and our need, and he draws us to the truth of Jesus and who he is and the truth of the gospel. The Holy Spirit must be present. If the Holy Spirit is not moving, we can say all the right words. People can agree and do all of that. You ready? Don't you want to believe in Jesus? You want to give your life to him? No. So it's not, we have a decision involved, and we do present the gospel. That's all true. But if God is not in it, it's going to be fruitless. We must have the Holy Spirit. Would you turn to chapter 6? John chapter 6. Jesus again is speaking, and he says this in verse 44. John chapter 6, verse 44. Jesus says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Do you notice that? It's the Holy Spirit who does the drawing. Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Holy Spirit draw him. And then one more scripture. I'll just read it to you if you want to write it down. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 3. The Bible says this, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now let me ask you, can anyone mouth the words, Jesus is Lord? Of course. But does that mean that their heart has been transformed, their sins are forgiven, name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? No, not necessarily. That can only occur. Do you see how important it is for the Holy Spirit to be? He is a necessity for anyone to get saved. And that is one reason it is so important for us to pray. Because the devil blinds people's hearts and minds with deception. And as long as people are deceived, they're not going to see the light of the truth of the gospel, because there's darkness there. So we pray for that, for the deceiver to be bound, for that darkness to be driven back by light. And for the Bible says in the book of Acts that God opened Lydia's heart to receive the gospel word spoken by Paul. That's one of the reasons I put that in the confession. My heart is open because I want if the Holy Spirit to open our heart for that word to go in and bear fruit in good ground. The same thing is true, though, with the gospel. When people hear the word of God and hear the truth of the gospel, it is the Holy Spirit that makes that truth real and draws them to that reality of their true condition, our true condition without Christ. So let's pray for God to give us opportunities to open doors, give us a chance to share the good news, and let's pray for God to give us the right words to speak that will produce fruit. I can plant and water. Would you say that with me? I can plant and water. And so then, John chapter 16. So we must have God's Spirit moving. We pray for him. We want to be sensitive to his leading, because it might be that I could just be standing next to someone in an elevator, in a hospital, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit move on my heart. Say something to this person. Well, if that's the Holy Spirit, I'd want to respond to him. Now, if I just go in somewhere and say, I'm going to go in here and start telling people about Jesus. Well, you might, but do you just want to do your little canned speech, or do you want God to move and draw people to Jesus? So the Holy Spirit is absolutely necessary. And then, as uncomfortable as it is, sin must be addressed. So Spirit, sin, and Savior. John chapter 16, Jesus again is speaking, and he says these words in John 7, chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. Now, I wouldn't think that typically if I was with Jesus then. But he says, for if I do not go away, the Helper, he's called the Holy Spirit in this passage as well, the Spirit of truth. If I don't go away, the Helper would not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And he did that 2,000 years ago. And when he has come, notice what he will do. He will convict the world of what? Of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Verse 9, of sin because they do not believe in me. So sin must be addressed. It is what condemns us and separates us from a holy, sinless God. He said he would convict the world of sin because they do not believe in me. That's the root sin that manifests in every other way, is unbelief. And so the Holy Spirit will convict us of our unbelief. I don't believe God's word. I don't believe that Jesus really is the way, the truth, and the life. I don't believe I'm a sinner. I don't believe I need to be saved. Whatever it is, the Holy Spirit is the one who draws us, but he confronts that sin because Jesus said, I didn't come to call the well. He said, those who are well don't need a doctor. But I've come to call sinners to repentance. So if you're a sinner, you're qualified. Jesus said, I came to seek and save who? The lost. So if I'm lost, again, I'm qualified. I can be saved. Thank God. So Jesus, but that's the key, isn't it? If I don't think I'm lost, I don't need to be saved. It's only the lost who can be saved. It's only the spiritually dead who can be raised to spiritual life. Because the Bible doesn't just tell us that we do have sin in our heart, but it says we are separated from God and dead spiritually because of that sin. Do you see how important it is? Now, of course, it's uncomfortable to tell people about sin and or however it may manifest, but it's that uncomfortable truth of the bad news of our true condition without Christ, that we are hopelessly lost without him, that makes the good news of God's love for us. It's the bad news that makes the good news of Jesus and his suffering and death on the cross and his powerful resurrection. It's the bad news that makes the good news so powerful and so precious. But if we don't know the bad news, I just blow off the good. If you have a terminal disease and you hear that there has been a cure discovered and it is 100% successful, that's going to bring you some joy. But if you don't have that disease, you might be happy, but it won't be the same. It won't be personal. Do you see the difference? If we realize I'm lost, I can't save myself. I wrote something down that Dr. Michael Brown said. He said, self-righteousness sets its own standards. That is our problem today, both in and out of the church. Self-righteousness sets its own standards. The cross makes sense only if mankind is hopelessly lost. Otherwise, Jesus suffered and bled for no reason. I would say suffered, bled, and died for no reason. But there was a reason. There's a good reason, because we need a Savior. And so the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin and draws us to the truth of who Jesus is. And that's what we have God's Holy Spirit. we share with people the good news, but we also make it good by sharing, hey, we've all sinned and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. And there's the good news is that we can be forgiven. There's a God who loves you so much. He paid the price for your sins. You don't have to stay without God in your life, and you don't have to die without God. You can have him now and forever. I can plant and water. Thank God. Would you tell someone next to you, I can plant and water? Aren't you glad somebody planted and watered you? Amen. Now would you turn one more, John chapter 4. John chapter 4, one more here in John. And I'll give you a little background. Jesus met a woman at a well one day here, and he offered her a drink. And she said, you don't have a bucket. And she said, how are you going to get any water? This well is deep. He said, if you drink the water I give you, you'll never thirst again. He wasn't, do you see the contrast, like even being born again? It wasn't just the physical thirst Jesus was addressing. He was talking about a spiritual thirst that only he could quench. And because this woman had been married, divorced 5 times. She was currently living with a man who was not her husband. And Jesus didn't come in with the hammer. He came in to draw her. And he spoke the word to her by his spirit. And he changed her. He saved her. And so we not only have the Holy Spirit, we address sin, but then the third necessity is we got to have a Savior. And Jesus is the only one who can save us and rescue us from sin and death. The only one. That's why we always got to bring Jesus in. Always point people to Jesus. Always point people. I thank God that he's allowed me to serve in a ministry, and I invite people to church. But ultimately, what people need and what this world needs is not me. It's not Calvary's Love Ministries. It's not a denomination. It's not a political party or politician. It's not Wall Street. It's not Hollywood. It's not anything other than Jesus and him crucified. So we point to Jesus. He says this in John chapter 4 and verse 35. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. May the Lord help us to have eyes to see where the fruit is ripe and where the field is that needs the gospel seed and it needs that seed watered. He says, look, I believe the devil constantly attacks, I'll say it that way, our hearts and minds and lives so that we become so focused on ourselves and so down that we don't even think to give God glory, to thank him, and we're so consumed with whatever's consuming us that we don't even see a needy world around us to share the gospel with. I can plant and water. So Jesus said, don't put it off. He said, go ahead and look. Look for that place. Lord, show me where I can make a difference today. Lord, help me to see where I can plant and water. Help me not to overlook the opportunities that you give me to water a gospel seed. I said it earlier, brothers and sisters, we are not here just to live and die. We can be a part of what God is doing in this hour, in this generation, in the earth today. This may be the last generation. I don't know that. I'm not saying that. I'm simply saying this is our time. This is our time to do what God calls us to do. God's Holy Spirit can help us make an investment in someone's life for eternity. So he goes on, he says this in verse 36. He who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. And then verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed in Jesus because of the word of the woman who testified, He told me all that I ever did. See, we can be like that woman. She came to Jesus and she drank the living water. And she went back to others and said, I found a man. And she pointed others to Jesus so that they could come to know the truth and believe in him and follow him too. That's all God calls us to do. She planted and watered. I can plant and I can water. She didn't go to argue. See, she tried to change the subject several times with Jesus. He said, no, we're not going there. We're going to keep it on the gospel. We're going to keep it right now on what you need. Right now, you need me. You need your heart touched. You need to be forgiven. And you need to have a new relationship and know God is your Father in heaven. And then when I'm gone, he's still with you and he'll help you to live right. So others would come to know him too. Acts chapter 16, I'll just give you two more references and we're done. Acts chapter 16, before I read this scripture, because here are two of the Lord's men, Paul and Silas, were arrested for sharing the gospel. People's lives were being changed, and they were beaten and placed in prison, and they were placed in stocks with their feet in the stocks. And even in that condition, I forgot this. I forgot to ask you. Remember last week I asked y'all to confess a scripture every day this past week. Rejoice. I told you then we weren't going to always be able to rejoice in circumstances. But rejoice in the Lord when? Always. And again I'll say, rejoice. So here they are, beaten, bleeding, in prison, incarcerated, and at midnight, they began to sing hymns and to pray and to praise the Lord, and the other prisoners heard them. And in this case, God actually sent a physical earthquake and shook the prison foundation so that everyone was loosed. Every prisoner could have escaped. The guard knew that he would be executed if he lost a prisoner, so he was going to take his own life. And the Apostle Paul said, wait, don't harm yourself, we're all here. In Acts 16, chapter 16, verse 29, that this jailer says he called for a light. He had a lantern. He ran in, fell down trembling before Paul and Silas, and he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So here it is right here. Well, you got to jump through a bunch of religious hoops, and you got to attend 10 Bible studies, and you... Now, all those steps are important, but remember, what's the first step? You got to believe. So here it is, right here. He cuts right to the chase, and these men of God answer him in verse 30 of 31. So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. He came in trembling and fell on his knees. You think he had the repentance part going? Repentance and faith? So God's Spirit was obviously drawing him. He knew he needed to be saved. That's why he asked. He knew there was sin, and they shared Jesus, and he believed, and his whole family got saved and baptized that night. But what they did was just plant and water. I can plant and water. I'll give you one last scripture if you write it down a second. Before I give it to you, I'll tell you just a couple of quick occasions where when Brother Gary and I went to New York for a conference, I used to take groups up there every year since 1995, minister in the city with different churches and missions around. And the pandemic, I haven't been back to the city since the pandemic. So when we landed in LaGuardia, it was a Tuesday afternoon, I believe, we came out onto the area where I was going to get an Uber. Brittany helped me put an Uber app on my phone, so Uber would be out there basically waiting. We stepped out. It was a zoo. I mean, there were like three, I don't know how many lines of traffic coming in, horns honking, people trying to cut in, get to the curb, people waving, trying to, I mean, it was just crazy. I said, well, I'm back in New York. And so anyway, however long we waited, when the man finally got there, we put our bag in and sit in. He said, what's going on? I said, I don't know. I figure you're the one who lives here. I don't know anything about it. I figure this is normal. He said, no, I don't know what's going on. I said, must be something then. And so we made our journey to the hotel in Gary. I don't know if you remember how long it was. Was it, 40 minutes, maybe something like that? And for that entire ride, our driver complained. And he started off on how his pay was based on, like, you know, it was a set rate. Whereas he stuck in traffic like that, that clock wasn't running, adding up his fee. I'm not making fun of him. It was just, we had to listen to that for 45 minutes, however long it was. And then, so I tried to switch the conversation a little bit. And I said, well, you know, I told him maybe why we were there about pastors. I said something at pastor's conference. Then he said, and that all them y'all preachers are in it for the money. They just get the money. I noticed he went into a church, he took the money, and he ran. I said, Lord, have mercy. And so I finally just said, I said, we're not all in it for the money. I said, God has been good to me, and I'm grateful. Just tried to end it like that. That's, of all things, when we got out, I asked him, I said, what about your tip? He said, it's in there. I found out later, it was just his fee. It wasn't the tip. And I thought, he's going to be on the preachers now for not, that preacher, did he give me a tip? But for the record, when I got back home and realized that, I said, if I don't tip anyone in the rest of my life, I just may as well get a tip. And I did. And then, so anyway, we went to the conference Saturday morning. I called. And of course, in Manhattan like that, or maybe most places, the traffic is real light, typically on a weekend, Saturday, Sunday morning. So anyway, I did the Uber, and we stepped out of the hotel, and a guy was already, he was there. So I got in and started making the trek back to LaGuardia, and it didn't take maybe 21 minutes. So anyway, we were talking a little bit. He was from Nepal. And because I pray for a different people group each day, I've prayed for different people groups in Nepal. I didn't tell him that. I just said, I'm a little bit familiar with Nepal and so forth. We got to talking. And somehow we got on God, and I didn't know if he was Hindu or not, which believe in many gods. He said, there's only one God. I said, that's right. There's only one God. And we talked a little bit and found out he's married, had a couple of daughters. And as we were getting up to the airport, I went ahead and took the cash out and put the tip in his little container right there in the circle between us. And I said, I want to ask you a question. I said, this ain't going to affect your tip. It's there, all right? You can tell me whatever you want. I said, but would you let me pray for you before we get out? He's like, oh, yeah, that'll be good. So I had a chance to pray for him, his wife, and daughters, and shook his hand. We enjoyed the trip. It was nice meeting him. We come on home. Did I lead either one to the Lord? No. But I don't think it was a failure. I was just to plant and water. And Lord willing, I made it easier for the next person whom God sends in their paths to bring to the fruit of salvation. So I can plant and I can water. So today, would you just write this verse? I'll read it to you. It's 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. 1 John 5, 13. The Bible says this. These things I have written to you. Notice that, please. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may not hope, not one day, if your good deeds outweigh your bad. No, I've written these words so that you may know that you have right now eternal life. So, are you born again? Is your faith and eternal destiny based on anything other than God's written, inspired word? Because if it is, it is a false hope that will let you down in the day when we give account to Him. But His word is true. And if you have been drawn by God's Spirit to confront that sin, to say, yes, I know I've sinned, and I want to be right with God, and I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He died for me. He rose again. Jesus, I believe in you. I confess you as Lord. You are saved. And if you're not, you can be right now. Do you want to be? Do you want to have that assurance right now? Because you can. And then if you're a follower of Jesus, as I am, I want to ask you this. Are you willing to plant and water for the purpose of making a follower of Jesus? For drawing people to the Lord. Jesus said, follow me and I'll do what? I'll make you fishers of men. You stay close to me, I'll help you do it. I'll make you a fisher of men. You just stay close to me. Even when you fall, be quick to repent, make it right, and just keep walking with me. That's just being real. People need reality and genuineness. And so if we follow the Lord, we quickly repent and we press on. I would just say this, let's love God and love others enough to plant and water, and then let's trust God to give the increase. Can we stand together as we close in prayer? Would you just take a moment right now between your heart and God? If you're not right with the Lord, would you make it right right now? And if you, maybe you've never even tried to share your faith or you feel intimidated, would you just ask God to help you? He will help us do what he calls us to do if we trust him. So would you just ask him right now, just say, Lord, I'm willing. I just ask you to help me because I know I can't do it without you. Lord, may you meet us at our point of need today. And I pray that you would fill us with your power, fill us with your spirit, fill us with a heart of compassion for those who don't know you. And Lord, use us to bear fruit, to plant and water. Help us to look for opportunities. Give us the right words to speak. And Lord, may you give the increase. And may you do it for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.